Welcome to Medicine Trails, a life in many worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kodiak medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled Telepathy.
Telepathy. Everyone has to be careful about the consequences of what they think. But medicine people, people with power, have to be especially careful. Grandpa and Auntie always told me that you can't have a temper and that you can't get rid of your temper by losing it. It's like the time my Aunt Caroline got angry with her sister-in-law, Uncle Roddy's drunken wife. She was being mean and nasty because she was drunk, and Auntie wished she was dead. She just got tired of it, lost her temper, and said it. I just wish you would be dead. This woman had heart disease and wasn't very well. She got hepatitis B in the course of surgery for her heart, and about 4 days after Auntie told her that she wished she was dead, she died. Auntie said she tried to take it back, but it wouldn't come back. She wondered what she was going to have to pay for that temper tantrum, but she said she was lucky no one else had to pay. She said, God has made me pay for 5 years because I've had to lie in this bed and be an invalid. But no one else had to die, and no one else had to pay. And she was glad of that, because a lot of times, if you make a mistake like that, one of your children or grandchildren will die. So you can't make a mistake. She was wheelchair-bound for about 5 years, and pretty much all I did was take care of her. Eventually, she became weaker and weaker, despite everything I did. And she didn't want to go back to the hospital. So we respected her wishes, and she died at home. I didn't really realize how much she used to communicate with me telepathically until the end of her life. It didn't dawn on me because it seemed to me that I could just hear her. At the end of her life, when she was bedridden, she was talking to me all the time, telling me things I needed to know about this power that was coming up for me in the time of life which I was approaching, and I wondered where she was getting the strength to talk to me this way. I realized what she was doing after Daryl said to me that Auntie and I were spending a lot of time together, with me just sitting there and her lying in bed looking at me, and neither one of us saying anything. Daryl asked me, what do you do all day when you're just sitting there looking at your aunt? You just sit in there and look at her. I said, she's talking to me. He looked at me for a minute and said, she's not saying anything. She's just looking at you. He wanted me to know that. Well, I said, she's telling me something. And he didn't question me. He just said that she wasn't saying anything. That's when I realized that she had always used telepathy to talk to me when she wanted to. And since she was dying and weak, she just used telepathy all the time. Until Daryl told me, I never really realized it, other than I had just seen her eyes and knew what she was thinking or thought at me. I have never been able to project my thought telepathically like Auntie and the medicine women who trained me could, but I could receive their thoughts. I can remember her getting after me and Juju's mother, Ramona, hollering at her when we were children, about 11 or 12 years old. We were at a dance and had gone outside the dance hall. There were people around back drinking, but we were just in front of the building. We didn't really have a reason for going outside, except they had told us that we couldn't. Juju said, you're so lucky that your aunt never says anything to you or hollers at you. I thought that maybe Ramona was hollering so loud that Juju didn't hear Auntie when she was telling me off, really letting me know what she thought. But I guess she wasn't talking. She was just thinking at me. But I didn't perceive it that way. I always thought she was talking to me. The other children thought it was great because I never got hollered at. Little did they know. She was really telling me off, but she didn't have to say anything. All she had to do was think. I think that I was born with an affinity to be open to this power which goes through me. When she became bedridden and Daryl thought she was just lying there looking at me, she was telling me telepathically about the powers that I would have in the period of my life I was just going into. She didn't tell me anything about being an Indian doctor because I never had to learn that. That's way, way farther out than what I would experience. She was telling me about the spiritual part of the powers because that's what I am, a spiritual person, not an Indian doctor. I just work on the mind and the senses. I don't work on changing the physical body. I can only change a person's mind or their mindset. I can't change where you are in the world, where you're at in the world. I can only change what you think about where you're at. Medicine people like me all have a vision of our death, our end. My Aunt Caroline said that she was going to go to sleep and die in her own bed. She just knew that was what was going to happen. In 1974, when the doctors tried to get her to go into the hospital, she said, "No, I want to stay home, here in my own place. I want to be in my own bed with my own people." And that's what happened. I was there talking to her. I said, "Do you want your drink?" She joked back, "Do you want your non-nutritive, non-caloric drink?" Because it was just mineral stuff they were giving her that helped her electrolytes. I asked her if she wanted another drink, and she never answered me. She just slipped away. I said, "Well, if you're not going to answer me, I guess you don't want it." She never said anything, and her eyes were closed like she was asleep. When she didn't wake up the next morning, I called the doctor. He had already told me that there was a time to call for an ambulance, and there was a time not to call for an ambulance. When the doctor came on the line, I told him what was happening, and he said this was the time to just let it go. I told him her breathing was awfully ragged, and he said to put her bed down a little more, and it would ease her breathing. I let her bed down, and about 15 minutes later, she was gone. After Auntie died, she kept coming back. I could feel her. She was there. She was just around all the time. She told me, "Go see Josephine Peters. She's your sister in medicine. Go see her." Josephine is a Karuk medicine woman who works in medicine and herbs. So I went over and told Josephine that Auntie was coming back. Josephine said that Auntie had been taking care of me so long and protecting me and sealing me off and making sure that nothing touched me, that she was still worried about me. Josephine told me that the next time Auntie came, the next time I could feel her, just tell her that you are all right, that you will be all right, that you're fine. 2 or 3 days after that, Auntie was there. I could feel her. I told her I was okay. I was outside picking up walnuts. I said, "I'm fine. I'm okay, and you don't have to keep staying here to watch out for me, because I'll be all right." She kind of laughed, and then it was like, "All right, I will leave." And it was like she threw me a basket, a laden work basket. She threw it on my back, and it was full of every emotion you could possibly feel, a great big load of feelings. Every kind of feeling a human being could possibly have. She threw it at me, and it was like, "And you can have this too. This is all of my power, and you can hold this." She had told me that when she left, that she wasn't going to take her power with her. "I'm going to leave it," she kept telling me.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is titled, "Gifts from the Spirit World." Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.